Welcome to the beginning of the First Principles Bible Study course. This is a discipleship course for new Christians. It begins with the verse on the front cover of your discipleship course that says simply, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, all of this takes for granted that you understand that what we're looking at is a study of the Word of God. And we're going to look first at the milk of the Word, or the basics of the Word, very simple things to understand, like a baby would digest milk. And we will move through many subjects, and that will turn into meat, things that have to be chewed upon or studied and really learned. Obviously, all to learn from the Word of God, the Bible. Now, if you open your discipleship, you'll come to the inside page where you need to write your name and the date that you're beginning this study. We will keep track of how you're completing the study, and one day you will fill in the date that you completed the study. Since I am recording this, your discipler is on audio, but normally the discipleship is conducted on a one-to-one or in a small group situation or setting, and so all of that information is to be filled in those type of situations. Right now, just put your name in there and today's date. You have a table of contents on the inside, basically on page 3, which shows you 4 sections that you will be studying through. Section 1 on the Word of God deals with biblical salvation and the eternal security of the believer, as well as believer's baptism, the Word of God, and Bible study techniques. Now, don't be afraid, but there will be a test that covers the information that we studied in that section at the end of those 5 lessons, but it won't be too hard. Believe me, it will be a good review for you, and a good a chance for you to know whether you're soaking in and learning the subjects that are being taught. Now let's go to page 4, and let's begin with the study introduction. The study introduction, as we begin this study of the Bible, I want to just lay out the introduction of concepts of what it is that we're going to attempt to do. And if you're going to use this study guide, you need to use it, first of all, alongside your Bible. Never put anything above the authority of the Word of God. Use tools to help your Bible study, but never to take its place. Some people actually would prefer to read a book about the Bible than to actually learn the Bible. This study course is not a replacement for the Bible. It is to get you into the Bible. B, if you're going to use the study guide, you need to pray for guidance as you study. God gave you His Word, and we'll look at those verses in a moment. And if you ask, He will guide you through it. Now, if you notice, those verses are highlighted in a different color. Every verse should be looked up and seen how they relate to what we're trying to study. So let's go to Psalm 68 and verse 11. Psalm 68 and verse 11. Psalms is in the middle of your Bible. If you have a whole Bible, if you have a New Testament, you need to get an entire Bible. But Psalm 68 and verse 7, if you start there, the Bible says this very succinctly, very straightforward. It says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." So God gave us His Word. Now, there ought to be just an innumerable number of churches and organizations that are just publishing and putting out what God said. Also, go to Matthew now. Matthew is in your New Testament. It is the beginning of the New Testament. It's the first book. And when you find the Gospel of Matthew, find chapter 24. As we go along, you might want to even mark some of these verses with a pencil or with a pen or biro, and as you come back through your Bible, you remember what you learned from these verses. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." They're gonna fade from existence one day. "But my words shall not pass away." So Jesus here is speaking, and He gave us His Word to keep. Now notice one more portion of scripture here. Go, you're in Matthew, go to the right some more and find John chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At first it's a little uncomfortable trying to find all these places, and you may have to go to the table of contents at the beginning of your Bible, but after a while, as we go back and forth, you'll get very comfortable with where these books are. Thankfully, they don't go moving around. You just find those places, and you'll learn they're towards the end of the Bible, towards the middle of your Bible, towards the beginning of the Bible, and you'll get very comfortable with learning where places are. We're looking for the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 13, if you notice there. Read with me. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." Now, this is Jesus speaking, and he is pointing to the coming of somebody he calls the Spirit of truth. And he is the Holy Spirit. At that point in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit had not come, and he was looking forward to the day when the Holy Spirit would come. And notice what he would do. Continuing on in verse 13, "He will guide you into all truth." Underline that word guide. He's going to help you, guide you. The purpose of the Holy Spirit on this earth today is to get us to know and understand and live the truth. So it says, "For he shall not speak of himself." The Holy Spirit is not another God. He is God. And he is God on this earth in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he will not speak of himself. That's not him trying to speak of something new or something different than we've learned already. "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." He's just going to repeat what the Father once said. "And he will show you things to come." Isn't that exciting? As you are studying your Bible, and as you're learning this discipleship, as you pray for the Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide you, to show you the things to come. See in your discipleship, it says this, we need to look up the verses that are listed, just like we just did. Keep reading through each verse listed until you're satisfied that you understand the Bible's instructions on each topic. So if you didn't understand John 16, verse 13, like we just read it over a couple of times, because every scripture that we refer to will be teaching us or showing us some truth that we need to learn from the Word of God. It's no good if we're just learning it from the discipleship or from a book about the Bible. We need to see what the Bible says. D. Fill in every blank with the words of Scripture as you look them up. In just a little while, we are going to get to a line there in the discipleship and a sentence, and there'll be an underline that'll be empty. And as you look up the Scripture, you'll be asked to fill in that blank. And that's what you need to do. You take your pen or your pencil and you fill in that blank. You may not see the answer right away, but the answer is always in every verse that is listed. Roman numeral 2. Memorize 4 main Bible verses that will be provided here in just a moment. These 4 verses will help establish your faith in the promises of the Bible. They are located in the beginning of each of the 4 sections of this study. They are Matthew 4:4, Hebrews 10:25, 1 Corinthians 12:27, and Romans 12:11. We will look up those verses as we go through each one of the lessons, and your goal is to memorize, to put into your mind, into your heart, the words that are listed in those 4 short verses. They're not too much. Those are the only ones you've got to memorize. Now, there'll be so many more that you can opt to memorize, but these 4 have to be memorized. Roman numeral 3. Recommended materials for further studies would involve maybe getting you a Bible dictionary. Now, maybe you've never had one of those or heard of one of those things, but it is basically a dictionary that is specific to the Bible. There are words that are Bible words. We may use words today in normal conversation, and you can use a normal dictionary, but there's some neat things about learning where Jericho is and who was Abraham. And a Bible dictionary actually takes a Bible word, whether it's a proper noun or a place or a thing in the Bible, or even a word like the word propitiation or salvation or ransom or the sacrifice. So when you get some of those words are distinctly Bible words. And it's nice to have a Bible dictionary that, that shows you what God is talking about when he uses those words. Writing pens and highlighters that allow you to mark your Bible. That is a very, very nice thing to always have ready, that when you see a verse that is special to you, go ahead and mark it in your Bible. It's your Bible. Make it part of what you are wanting to always remember. A separate notebook is nice to have that allow you to record your notes as you study through your Bible. That notebook can be small. It doesn't have to be very large, but it is one of the most important parts of study and learning is not just reading and thinking, but taking what you think and have learned and writing it out, and it makes it permanent in your mind. And then lastly, it's nice to have a stack of small cards that you can write down special scriptures for memorizing. So say you wanted to memorize John 16:13. Well, to help you memorize that, you would actually get a card that is a lined card. Now we call them note cards or index cards, and you want to fill in, you want to write in the words of that verse. So you might write John 16:13 at the top, and then write the words, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth," and you would fill up that card with that verse, and you'd stick it in your pocket or in your purse, and you would pull it out and read it over throughout the day. And you can't always look in your Bible and review what verse you might want to memorize, so it's nice to actually write it onto something else that you can be looking at. Maybe you're in traffic, maybe you're in line or in queue at a shop, and it's just nice to pull it back out and review it to help you to memorize it. Now here's some suggestions for reading your Bible. Again, the Bible is not a book that's supposed to be sat somewhere in your sitting room or on a shelf. It is supposed to be getting into your life, and you're not going to get it in any other way than if you read it. So realize the Bible is a book. It is not a magical good luck charm. It was written to be read with human eyes and tested by the human mind and believed by the human heart. The method for reading the Bible is very simple. Here are just a few suggestions to get you going. A. Listen to it. Start with a determination on your part to listen to what is written. Again, these aren't just sentences. These are the words that have come forth from the mouth of God. Listen to him speak. When you approach the Bible, seek to hear what the words are saying. What you're doing is you're letting God talk freely as if he were right beside you. Secondly, B, pray. Praying is asking. So ask God to grant unto you the true understanding of his word. There is no interpreter of the word of God except the author of the word, and that is God himself. Now let's go find this next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's actually more than one verse we're going to be reading here. 1 Corinthians is to the right. If you are in John, you go to the right some more. Chapter 2. Again, these two books, your discipleship and your Bible, right alongside each other, it will guide you in this Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" If I were to ask you, or if I were to talk to you and try to tell you what you're thinking, I couldn't do it. I might could tell by the expression on your face how you might be feeling, but I couldn't actually tell you what's going on inside your heart. But your spirit knows what's going on inside your heart. Same thing with God. His Spirit, his Holy Spirit, knows what he meant when he wrote the Bible. And so the deep things of God are revealed unto us by his Spirit. Verse 12. "Now, we," talking about we Christians, "have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we would know what God has given us, especially in the Bible. "Which things also we speak, not with the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Now, man's wisdom might be a book on philosophy or even history. But the words which man's wisdom teaches is not what we're interested in at this point. We're interested in the words which, as you notice verse 13, which the Holy Ghost teacheth. He's the best teacher in the universe. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we need. And so you're not going to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching you unless you are praying and asking the Holy Spirit to freely teach you as you read from the Bible. C. Read your Bible from the beginning to the end. You'll never get the meaning of any book unless you read it from cover to cover. For the first time, you should start in Matthew and read all the way through to Revelation. After that, then go to Genesis and start all over and read all the way through to the end again. So where are you starting? If you were to start tonight and reading your Bible, you would start in the book of Matthew. You'd read Matthew chapter 1 and maybe chapter 2, reach a couple of chapters, 3, maybe chapter 4, and then put it away. And then tomorrow, pick it up and start in chapter 5, and then read chapter 6, and chapter 7, and chapter 8, and then put it away. Get your good night's sleep. Next day, in the evening, pick your Bible, read several chapters every day. You finish Matthew, then go on to the next book, which is Mark, and then Luke, and then John, all the way to the very last book of your Bible is Revelation. And at that point, you will have finished the entire New Testament. Then what do? Well, you start back in Genesis now. You start in Genesis, and you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and you read about Israel and God creating this world and God taking Israel out of bondage in Egypt and bringing them into the Promised Land. And you learn the background to the New Testament this time. And you bring, you follow along as God fulfills his promises that he made all the way at the beginning of the Bible and is fulfilled all in Jesus Christ. And you read from the beginning to end. That's how you read a book. Read your Bible from start to finish. Starting, obviously, where you're most familiar, and that's with Matthew, but that's not the only place you're going to stay. D. Read your Bible with the heart and not just the mind. The Bible is perfect and quite capable of being examined by the mind, but you got to remember, it was written for the heart. Read it daily. Set aside a regular time every day to spend in God's Word. You ought to, if you can only read it in the evening before you turn in for the night, read it then, but set aside a regular time. You do it for when you have dinner. You do it for when you have to be at work. You do it when you've got a project to do. You make time for it. This is one of the most important projects you will ever do. F. Read it obediently. We need to read the Bible with the goal of doing what we find commanded to be done. God didn't write out the 10 suggestions. He wrote out the 10 commandments. He writes in his Bible telling us we ought to obey. Notice it says, God says in James 1, verse 22, that we are to be, here's our first blank. Let's go now all the way to the right. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far, come back several little books. Just after the book of Hebrews is the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 22. And the Bible says this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So what would be your fill in there? What are we looking for? But be ye doers of the word. So here's our fill in. You want to be able to fill in the word doers. God's looking for somebody who is willing to do what he's told us to do in the Bible. Read our Bible, willing to do what it says. G. We need to read our Bibles contextually. Oh, that sounds like an interesting word. Contextually means the scriptures to explain themselves. A sentence is always understood within the meaning of the surrounding sentences. What do I mean by that? Well, you need to find out who is speaking. Keep track of who's speaking, who they're speaking to, and what they're talking about. If you just extract a verse and you just pull it out, you don't know what it's talking about. You don't know who's doing the talking. It's very, very important to know the context. Maybe they're out in the open, sitting on the side of a hill. Maybe they're in a synagogue. Maybe it's just before Pilate and Herod and in front of a Sanhedrin, and the crowd is crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Every one of those situations actually bears upon the meaning of the words that you're reading. So learn from the context. Now, turn your page and let's look here and let's see just what is truth. Now, to find out what is truth, we need to compare John chapter 18 and verse 37 and 38 with the Gospel of John chapter 17 and verse 17. So let's go back to the Gospel of John. Now notice, as I'm teaching this lesson, I too have my Bible open. I am looking up every scripture with you, and I'm learning alongside with you. I'm reviewing great truths. And this will, as you are looking in your Bible, you will see line upon line, page by page, the truths of this Bible just very plainly set out for you to believe. So John chapter 18 is where we begin in verse 37. John 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again into the Jews, and he said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." Now, we need to read. Now, we've just read something. You say, "I didn't understand all that." I understand. We're going to actually talk about this in a moment. Let's go back just one page and look at John chapter 17 and verse 17. And we'll put all this together in just a moment. John chapter 17, verse 17. Here, if you have a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, you'll notice this is the words of Jesus. And he says, "Sanctify them." Cleanse them is what sanctify means. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Let's read our discipleship here. Look at number one. In John 18, the Lord Jesus is standing before Pilate, accused of being a king. Remember, Pilate says, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You said it. But to this end came I into the world, to talk of the truth." Remember that? So Jesus tells Pilate that he is a king, but not of this world, and that his design is not to be setting up a physical kingdom, but to declare the what? Talk to me. I know I can't hear you. I'm recording this in a little bitty office here, but you can write out the word. He came to declare the, and if you can't remember what it was, then go back to John chapter 18, and look at verse 38 again. Verse 37. "Art thou a king then?" Pilate said. Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness." That's what declare means. "Unto the what?" The truth. So he came to talk about the truth. Now notice what Pilate does. Pilate responds, "What is what?" What's the fill-in? "What is truth?" But notice what Pilate does next. He does not wait around for the answer. He doesn't believe that there is any such thing as truth. Did you know it's the same with most people? Here, Pilate has the truth, the very essence of truth standing before him. Jesus would have talked to him for months if he could, to talk to him about the truth. That's what he came to do. But there was Pilate, the old politician that he was. He had given up on truth long ago. He says, "What is truth?" And he walked out the door. You know, most people are the same. They've been lied to so many times about Santa, the Tooth Fairy, Easter bunnies. They think that God and truth are only lies as well. Number three. Yet, when we go back to John 17:17, Jesus himself says that God's what is truth. Do you remember what that was? If you can't remember, go back to John chapter 17, verse 17. You ought to have a little mark by that verse, or maybe put a box all the way around the verse where it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, either Jesus was a liar, or he was crazy, or he's telling the truth. God's word is truth. Which is it? I know many people who believe that God's word contains truth, but Jesus said it is true. Now we need to agree on three things. If you notice B in your discipleship, we need to agree on three things. Number one, there must be something somewhere that is true. Because without truth, there is no way of knowing what is really true or false, good or bad, right or wrong, and anyone's guess becomes as good as another's. Honestly, what difference does it make? I mean, you got your opinion, I got my opinion. But we need to agree that there has to be something that is true. Secondly, we're going to have to agree that God is the author of truth, not science, not accidents, not opinions, not the Pope, not the King, not the President, not Mama. God is the author of truth. And we know that because our Bible tells us God cannot lie. That is awesome to me. Let's go to Titus. Titus is a little book. If you go to the right, and you're finding, if you find Hebrews, you've gone too far. You've gone to Revelation, gone way too far. Come back, find some books called 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and then the small book called Titus. Titus was a young pastor who was starting churches on an island called Crete. What an exciting job he had. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, an interesting verse. It says, and every Christian has this, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot, what? Lie, promised before the world began. Notice it again. We have the hope of eternal life, and I'm not in heaven yet, but because God gave it to me, because God promised it, I read the next words, it says, God cannot lie. And he promised it before the world ever began. So that makes it so that that promise is a sure promise. Again, we're agreeing that God is the author of truth. He cannot lie or else he is not God. If God ever lied, he'd stop. He would stop being God right then and all this universe would fall apart. Number three, we've got to agree that God has revealed truth not through nature, through the stars, through the church. He's revealed truth in the Bible alone. Remember John 17, 17? If you go back there very quickly, John 17 and verse 17, the Bible says this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word, thy Bible is truth. We have to agree that God has given us truth, all truth we need in the Bible. Now, maybe we need to learn how to fix a carburetor or fuel injector system or the brakes on the car, and we're going to have to pick up a manual on that. But for something to be true, we want to know if something's true. Was the Big Bang real or is it a lie? We want to learn about how old this universe is. We want to learn what are the things that are really, really important, like where you're going when you die and where you came from. And whether there's a God in heaven, and whether there's a devil's hell, you need to know the truth about those things. You're going to go to the Bible to find it. Let's look at one other verse here, Romans 3. If you're in John, you go to the right and find Romans. After John comes Acts, and then Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Romans 3 and verse 4. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but how many are liars. Huh. But every man a liar. Man, that kicks us in the teeth. There is nobody that won't lie to you except God. The Bible says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Now, I hope you don't lie. But I know this. You do. You've lied, and you probably will lie in the future. Because we're men. We're human. But God cannot lie. So let God be true. That means let his Bible be true. Just go ahead and let whatever it says, that's the truth. That'll settle a lot of confusion. That'll settle a lot of problems in this world if we just let God be true and every man a liar. Now what's the purpose of this Bible? A, still back in our discipleship, it was written that we may blank that Jesus was who he said he was. The Messiah, the Son of God, who came to pay our sin debt. Huh. So the Gospel of John now. John chapter 20. In verse 31. John chapter 20. In verse 31. But these are written. Why were they written? that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, ye might have life through his name. So it was written that we may what? That Jesus was who he said he was? That we may believe that Jesus was who he said he was. We can believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world. Amen. That's why God wrote the Bible, so we'd believe him, so we'd know that we can trust him. Now, there's a second reason why he wrote the Bible. It was also written so that we may blank that we have all eternal life. I don't want to just hope for it. I want to know that I got it. Well, let's go to 1 John. 1 John is different than the Gospel of John. Same writer, John the Beloved, the Apostle John, but it's a small letter at the very end of your Bible, just before Revelation, are three small books called 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. The first reason why God wrote the Bible was so that we can believe that Jesus was who he said he was. Secondly, he wrote it so that we may something that we have eternal life. I don't want to just hope for it. I want something else. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you. Notice what we're looking for. We're looking, why was it written? That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God and that, I'm sorry, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may, here's your fill in, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the Bible was written that we may know that we have eternal life. I know. I know because I believe this Bible is the Word of God, and I believe everything it says. And it says, if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You need to just let Jesus Christ be your Savior. And if you do, it'll be because you believe the Bible, not because you believe me, or because you believe your church, or you believe some vision or some feeling, but because you believe and trust and obey the eternal Word of God. Oh, what a wonderful purpose that we have in the Bible. Now, what's the purpose of our discipleship course here? Well, the purpose of the discipleship course is to teach us the wonderful truths of God's Word so that you can something to perfection or full maturity in Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter now. Go back to the left, find 1 Peter. 1 Peter's not too far back. From 1 John, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes. Hey, we've seen this verse before, haven't we? Back at the beginning, on the very cover of your discipleship, notice, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may, there's our fill-in word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, full of grace. So, I want to grow. I want to grow to perfection. I want to grow to be just what God made me to be. And that's what being mature is. Let's go to one other one here. 2 Peter chapter 3. You're in 1 Peter. The very next book is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. It's actually the last verse of 2 Peter. It says, again, here's our challenge from God, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Hey, so what is it? What's the purpose of this discipleship lesson? Or any of these lessons? It's so that you can grow. The Bible is written so you know Jesus is the Son of God who died for you, and that by believing on him, you'd have eternal life. Now, I encourage you that as we go through this discipleship, God wants you to be born again by believing this Bible, and he wants you to grow. And so this discipleship is going to take you through the great truths that are in this Bible. Sometimes people are overwhelmed by the Bible. Well, this aims to help you step by step. Like sitting down and having a four-course meal. You start with soup and salad, and then you move on to the meat and the potatoes, and then you go on to your dessert, and then you have your tea and coffee afterwards. But it's in stages. Same thing with this study. Now, I want to help you see some things here, the areas that we need to grow, found in letter B. To do this, to be able to grow, you need to develop yourself in the following life principles by reading and learning from God's Word daily. There are eight principles we want to see developing in our lives. we're still in 2 Peter. Let's go back to chapter 1 now, in verse 4. Peter, one of the 12 apostles, has been used by the Holy Spirit of God to write some of these things, just like James was, and Paul, and Matthew, and Luke, and John. Peter here is going to bring out eight areas in our life that need to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Hey, where do we get those promises from? From the Word of God. That by these ye might be partakers, participants of the divine nature. You know, when a person gets born again, they get the Spirit of God in them, the nature of God. You get born into God's family. You get eternal life. Well, amen. Become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's like being saved from a ship that's sinking. You have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Notice what we have to start with. I need to start with faith, where I'm just willing to believe God. But that's not the end. That's where I start. That's how I get saved. But now I need to add, notice what he says, virtue. Now look in your discipleship up there. Faith is what you start off with at salvation. That's what you have to have. You have to believe. God can't do the believing for you. He gives you his son, he gives you the Bible, and he asks you, believe on my son. But you need to add to that faith, virtue. Now virtue simply is the inner strength to do right. You want to do right. You want to live godly, don't you? You want to be able to face temptation, be able not to give in all the time, don't you? Amen. That's what virtue is. It's inner strength. You don't want somebody having to hold you down or hold you back. You want to be able to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's virtue. You need to add virtue. That's what Peter says. Let's keep going. Let me just read the whole thing and then we'll go back through the words. We'll continue there. Start back again in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, what do we need to add? Knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, we need to add brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, if they're growing a lot, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what I want, and I hope that's what you want. Will you add to your faith? Look at our list there in the discipleship. Virtue, that's the inner strength to do right. And we need to add to our virtue knowledge, not just knowledge about it is 4.2 light years to Alpha Centauri. That's okay, so that's knowledge, but that's not the kind of knowledge he's talking about. It's the knowledge of who Jesus is. The knowledge of Jesus in every page of your Bible. The knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Lord, your God, your friend. You want to get to know Him. Add personal knowledge of Jesus Christ to your life. Then you need to add temperance. Hey, have you ever lost your temper? Well, you lost the balance. You've got to have a balance. That's what it means. You keep your temper. Temperance means keeping a right balance. Sometimes people only read the Bible and they never tell anybody about how to be born again. Sometimes people are going around and they are so interested in people getting saved, but they never read their Bible. Some people go to church all the time, but they never pray. Never pray at home. Never pray with their kids. They're out of balance. You need to add balance to your life. Constantly working on making sure that you spend time with your family. That you pray with them. That you trust God. That you are in church. And yet you're also, when the time... Where Monday morning, you're at work and on the job. You're doing what needs to be done, and you keep the right balance. Then you need to add to temperance patience. Well, patience is rough. Patience is where you have to learn to wait on God, and you got to be willing to wait when you're going through a trial. You're going through a storm in your life, and you just got to keep waiting and keep waiting. But this time, because you're a Christian, you're learning to wait on God. Add to your temperance patience. Then add to patience, godliness. Now, godliness is you becoming more and more like Christ. You're trying to do things like God wants you to do it. You're becoming a Christian then. Now, you may be saved, born again, amen, but are you living godly? You need to add that to your life. Brotherly kindness is a wonderful thing to add. That's where you just have a family kind of love and kindness towards people. You treat everybody like family. That's a Christian attitude. That's a Christian act. And you've got to add that to your life. If you're going to be mature, if you're going to grow, and then add charity. Wow, charity is one of those words that's been so ruined by our modern world. Charity is unconditional love. You ever cherished something? You ever had something you just loved and you protected and you treasured it? All right, that's charity. Charity is when you treat people with that kind of love. Unconditional love. It just pours out of you. Wouldn't you like to have that? God says you can love even your enemy if you have charity. Let's finish that last paragraph. The Bible finishes in verse 8 by saying, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or what? Unfruitful." Unfruitful is your fill in there. Unfruitful is where your life has no... It produces nothing. It results in nothing. Hey, wouldn't it be sad to have gotten saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and then have nothing to show for it? No changes in your life, no stronger faith, no balance, no love for the unlovely. Amen. You put these things in your life and you'll be one of the most fruitful beings on this planet. That's what a Christian is. And that's what God wants. He wants us to bear spiritual fruit, just like a tree, an apple tree, supposed to produce apples. Well, a Christian's supposed to bear spiritual fruit and to be a success as a real Christian. Now, this concludes our study introduction. This is how we're going to study each one of the sections, and we're going to learn from the Bible. I know you're going to enjoy this. I know you're going to enjoy the study of God's Word. Never give the devil an inch. Always stay in your Bible, learning and growing, and you will always, always have the joy of the Lord. God bless you as you study His Word. Prepare now to start lesson 1 on what it means to be saved, biblical salvation.